Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Hello, listening friends. Thank you for tuning in to the Gospel of Grace. Welcome to our broadcast and program. If you're a return listener, we thank you for that. And we hope that you'll pray for us, pray for this endeavor, that we'll be able to reach more folks and be able to feed little sheep. That is our heart's desire and prayer to God, that He would use this ministry here on the radio, that it would be a blessing to folks, that it would honor and glorify His name. I'm Joe Nettles, and I'm pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, located at 40283 Wolf Road in Caledonia, Mississippi. And I also welcome you on behalf of my good friend, Elder David Wise. He and I alternate messages on this broadcast. If you're a return listener, you may have noticed that. And he is the good pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, located at 11 Staten Road, right on Highway 15, outside of Ackerman, Mississippi. We both meet at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and we would love to meet with you at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. We also meet together every Wednesday evening in Starkville, Mississippi, at the La Quinta Inn Conference Room, 6 p.m. every Wednesday. We have an abbreviated song service message. We have prayer, and we have fellowship. We break bread together and have a good meal and just wonderful fellowship. We'd love for you to join us. You can also go to our website, gospel-of-grace.com. You'll find a church locator, frequently asked questions, archived messages, links. We invite you to go and take advantage of that. That's gospel-of-grace.com. Also, we can be heard on the Grace Alone Radio app. It's a free app for either an Apple or an Android device. You can download it for free, and it works beautifully. And we are very thankful for Elder Michael Goins, who is the administrator of that app, for hosting us on his app and giving us that venue that we might be able to hopefully, again, feed more sheep and reach more folks. We're so glad you tuned in, and we hope that you'll stay with us after this hymn. We'll be right back with today's message.
I love you.
Thank you so much for staying tuned, and I would like to deliver the third installment on the series that I have titled Red Letter Reckoning. And by red letter reckoning, I mean we are going to the very words, the quoted words that came out of the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ as he dwelt upon this earth in the flesh. God himself invaded time and took upon himself the form of a man, but he was still all God. And he spoke such wonderful words, words that the soldiers that were sent to fetch him said, never a man spake like this man. And by reckoning, we mean we want to reckon or calculate our own position in life, in our attitudes, in our doctrines, in our practices regarding sacred matters, in our trusting of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we where we need to be? Are we looking to the target? Are we looking to the fixed horizon? Are we looking to the North Star and the true north on the compass? And that is Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of his Father on high. And we are going to reckon our positions today by looking at the attitudes and the teachings of Jesus Christ regarding different subjects as touching both doctrine and practice. Now, in the past, we've spoken to you regarding the divinity of Jesus Christ, how that Jesus Christ himself owned himself as equal with God, as the second in the Trinity. And he is, though he was all man, he's also all God. We also brought to your mind how that the Lord Christ taught election and predestination, that this is not just some weird doctrine that has been drummed up by old fuddy-duddies who read the 1611 King James translation. No, there are a bunch of us old fuddy-duddies out here that read the 1611 King James translation, but that's beside the point. These are the words and the teachings of Jesus Christ, and we hope that we were able to point that out for you in a way that it would either cause you to believe it or to at least plant a seed and get you to study these things. Either way, you're drawing closer to Jesus Christ, and that is our goal. Today, I'd like to look at the red letter and reckon our position regarding a special revelation. Now, what do I mean by a special revelation? Well, many people believe that any human being can believe the gospel. Now, I mean, any human being can open the Bible and appreciate the historical points in there, or even just the moral precepts in the Word of God. But, kindred, there's something far sweeter, far deeper, far more spiritual about the spiritually felt truths that we feel that they touch our souls and they calm and comfort us and assure us in salvation. And that requires a special revelation. For someone to truly believe in Jesus Christ, not as just a historical figure, but as truly the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, for them to be able to see themselves as a sinner in need of that Savior. Whether it's seeing him as the Savior or seeing yourself in need of salvation, it requires a special revelation. Now, people don't like that. They think, well, that's very exclusive. Well, it's not my idea. It's the Lord's. It pleases him. And I'm just very thankful that he saw fit to reveal it unto me. Now, if you're under the sound of my voice today and you're a believer in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then there's no need for you to get upset about the concept of a special revelation, because obviously the Lord has given you revelation. So you are among that number. There's no need to despise that. So let's go to the words of Jesus Christ and see what he teaches on this most important subject of the doctrines of Christ our Lord. Go to John chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 44 through 47. John 6, 44 through 47. And the words of Christ are very emphatic. They're very plain. They're very stark. And a lot of people in this politically correct world today, they want to get in their feels about everything. They want it their way. But my friends, we must subject ourselves and humble ourselves to believe what God has told us in his word. And Jesus told us in his word, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Let's unpack that verse just for a moment. First, he says, no man can come to me. He's talking about the total depravity of man. Then he says, except the Father which hath sent me draw him. There he's talking about his eternal sonship. My friends, if he was the Son before the world began with the Father, he's the eternal Son, and he was sent because he was the second in the covenant of redemption, the one to come and to represent man and to suffer and bleed and die for him. And it takes a drawing for anyone to come to Jesus Christ. What does it mean to come to Jesus Christ? Well, it may be recognized in someone believing in their heart the things of his word, longing for him through their conviction of sin. But most specifically, overall, what it means is he brings you from death and sin to life in himself. We're not talking about the gospel. We're talking about something far superior to even the gospel. And that is the drawing power of God. How you are dead in sins one moment, he sends his spirit into your heart and quickens you and changes your life just drastically. Changes your mindset, tenders your heart. All of that is done by the Holy Spirit of God. And then he goes on to say of these people that it was written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught. Now, somebody may say, well, certainly they'll be all taught. If God loves them, then he'll make sure to get the gospel to them. Some fat chicken eating preacher like myself to go and to preach the gospel to them. But no, it said they shall be all taught of God, not about God. They shall be taught of God. That means the direct teaching that's coming to each and every one that is drawn cometh from God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned, does he say of the preacher or from the preacher? No. He says, every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father. Again, I stress, not about the Father, not about Jesus Christ, but of him. That means the Father is the one doing the teaching. The Lord is the one who teaches us and communicates to our hearts. First and foremost, before we can ever recognize the gospel truth, truth must be implanted within us through the medium of the Holy Spirit of God. It said, every one of those that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. That's a definitive. No ifs or ands or buts. He says, not that any man hath seen the Father, save, that means except, he which is of God. You see, my friends, there is embodied in that election and predestination. He says, these are people of God, and they are the ones who will learn of God. That means those are the ones that God will teach and none other. Said, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Isn't that diametrically opposed to the way the gospel is presented by so many people today? They say that until you believe in the Father and believe in Jesus Christ, that you cannot acquire everlasting life. But time and again in the New Testament, we see that he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. That means if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it means that you are already in possession of that everlasting life. God has given you faith to be able to believe, to show unto you, to reveal unto you that he has already taught you because he has already chosen you. Jesus has already died for you, and the Spirit has already quickened you. We go to John chapter 14. There's extensive teaching here from Jesus Christ in the red letter regarding the manifestation of the Holy Ghost that would come upon the disciples. And we see that fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. On John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, we read the words of Jesus again, red letter reckoning. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now notice these words. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Again, we unpack this sweet package, this wonderful gift God has given us. Let's unpack it just a little bit. If ye love me, my friends, how can you love Jesus? Because he first loved you and causes you to love him. Well, if you love him, then he's telling you, what I am commanding you to do, because you're already my child and you're already redeemed, you need to keep the commandments. He says, and if you do that, the great precious promise here in the New Testament church we have is that by loving him and keeping his commandments, he said, I'll pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter. As it tells us in Isaiah chapter 26, oh, he will give that perfect peace to those whose mind is stayed upon Jesus Christ. He said, he shall give you another comforter, that he will abide with you forever. Jesus says, I'm about to go to my Father. In my personage, I'll not be here with you anymore. But something far greater is coming. That is my presence that will be specially felt, but it can be felt many, 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 many places at one time. A special assurance, a special power that I'm going to give to those that believe, to affirm to them that I am real and I am a real Savior. Well, to whom is this promised? Notice in Acts chapter 2, when he gave that command, he said, the promise of the Holy Ghost is unto you, unto your children, all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's that special revelation. That's the new birth, the special revelation. They come hand in hand. And see, if you've been taught of the Father, as many as been called of God. You see, he says there, it's the Spirit of truth. Okay, that Spirit that's caused you to be born again, here he's saying there's going to come a time in you believing and trusting in me that it's going to come out of you in a powerful way. It's going to encourage you. It's going to make your life so much sweeter, so much more calm and lucid and full of peace and joy in Jesus Christ. But he said emphatically, the world cannot receive this. He said, see, it's not for everyone because it seeth him not. Now, it's not talking about rats, bats, coons, and dogs, and pine cones. He's referring to people. This worldly economy, this fallen and wicked world, and many of the folks in it, they are not his children. They do not love him and would never love him. If you gave them every spiritual blessing in the world, they would not appreciate it. He said here, but ye know him. Why? He said, for he dwelleth with you. They said, I'm here with you in person. I'm Jesus Christ. And I'm already in you. That's how you know me, because I am in you. And he says, and the promise that day, the blessedness that day will be an assurance that I shall be in you. So not only am I in you now, disciples, you're going to feel that power of the Holy Ghost and know that I am in you even after my resurrection and my ascension unto the Father. You'll know that I'm seated at the right hand of my Father for you, because you will know it and feel it under the sound of the preaching of the gospel, the truth, and in discipleship. I love that. Matthew chapter 11. We go to verses 25 and 27. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Now, what is so special and wonderful that Jesus just stops in the middle of what he's doing and he gives a praise of adoration unto his Father, thanking him effusively? What could be such a great blessing? Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. You'd have to have help to misunderstand that. There are some, my friends, who the gospel truths have been hidden from, either because of their fallen condition or because they've tempted the Lord so that he finally judicially blinded them so that they could not see. But the ultimate lesson here is that he has to do the revealing. He has hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes, little simple children of God that the world despises, that the world thinks nothing of. So oftentimes you're in a store or whatnot, little children may be all around, and the adults don't pay them any mind. And that's kind of the way we disciples of Christ are in this world. We are the despised and the downtrodden of this world so oftentimes. We are derided on every television broadcast and in all manners of print and media. But my friends, let me tell you something. You take joy in this, that he has revealed himself unto you. He hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. Why? Because he's God and he can do what he wants. And he shows his power in those whom the world would never consider would be a vessel of his power. Oh, he's such a good and gracious Lord. Even so, Father, he carries on. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. Now notice the direct language here. And no man knoweth the Son, but the Father. He said, I am of the same essence, nature, eternal being of the Father, co-equal with God the Father and God the Spirit. He said, and no man knoweth the Son, but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Do you believe in God the Father? My friends, let me ask you something. In the Old Testament times, were people having things revealed unto them? Did they have a special revelation in the Old Testament? Yes, they did. Now, I'll grant you, they did not have a head knowledge. They did not have the same cognitive joy, the knowledge of the New Testament reality, of the fulfilled work of Jesus Christ, of his resurrected person. They did not have that knowledge to go with the Spirit that had already revealed things in their heart. They had already learned of the Father from the least to the greatest. But my friends, if they believed in the Jehovah God, if they truly loved him and wanted to serve him, here Jesus is saying, they wouldn't even know the Father except I am the one doing the revealing. But you may say, well, wait, Jesus Christ wasn't born, you know, until much later in the New Testament than the patriarchs, and he was laid in a manger. That's exactly right. But my friends, again, he is the eternal Son of God whose goings forth have been of old, even of everlasting, even from everlasting, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Yes, even in the Old Testament, the Son was revealing. Oh, he wasn't revealing himself in the visage of the man, Christ Jesus, as they saw him for 33 and a half years in the Middle East during that time. But I guarantee you, Jesus was there with them, and he was revealing unto them. Otherwise, they would have never even known the Father. They would not have known him as the Father. Oh, they might have been like Saul of Tarsus and just been going through a cold religious exercise, using the law that God had given them on the Sinai's Mount to try to beat people over the head and beat them in subjection and manipulate it and wrest the scriptures so that they could make them teach their own ends. Oh, there were many self-righteous Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and priests back in that day. But my friends, we're talking about a different breed of cat, as it were. We're talking about Abraham, who followed the Lord by faith. Why? Because the Son had revealed the Father. The Son, the Word, the expression of Almighty God was inhabiting the hearts and the minds of his people, even in the Old Testament. And my friends, especially so in the New. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe the testimony of the Bible? Oh, I do. I do. So many people think I'm foolish for believing it. And it hurts me to see people disbelieve. It hurts me to my very core to know that there are people out there that despise the things that I've devoted my life to, that I hold and count so dear. But my friends, let me tell you something. They may be confused in the mind. They may even get corrupted in their minds. Their faith may even be overturned. But nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And if you know him today, then my friends, it's because he has given you a special revelation. Jesus believed it because Jesus is that revelation. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, my friends, he is the light of this world. He is the bread that rained down from heaven, that gives life to us. Oh, my friends, I'm so very thankful that he has revealed this thing unto a little babe like myself. And if you believe it today, then my friends, you need to believe in a special revelation. Oh, it may not be politically correct because it doesn't offer the blood of Jesus to every human creature in the world. Well, the Bible never declares any such thing. If I'm to love and believe in Jesus Christ, I need to love and believe in his word and simply, faithfully, humbly accept it and receive it for what it is and rejoice in it. And I do. And I hope that you do too. Until we're able to meet with you again and go over this red letter reckoning a little more. I pray a special blessing on each and every one of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall this praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus.